Thank you, Ms. Lisa. Brother Chris, thank you for coming today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 5. Today, as we look at real courage, and I'd also add that we could probably say real commitment just as easily, maybe even more. Daniel chapter 5. Tremendous story here in this book. Daniel showed real courage. The king in this story showed real stupidity. And did you know that you can't fix stupid? Y'all know that? We see that, don't we? All you have to do is watch the TV, isn't it? And you see, you can't fix stupid. Belshazzar foolishly thought no one could touch him. He's a king. He can summon whoever he wants, all of his people, to do whatever, worship him and feed him and clothe him and care for him. But in this story today, we're going to see he was going to a party. He had a party. And after all, Babylon had enough grain. He wasn't worried about anything because it's reported they had enough food to care for them for 20 years. If someone came against their fort or against the city, they had enough food to maintain for 20 years, the story goes. And this tremendous river, the Euphrates, was a very reliable water supply. So they had enough water, they had food, and so he's having this big party. He had false security, you and I could say. It sounds like all believers, dear friends, unbelievers have false security. They may think everything's fine, they have plenty of money, they have good health, they have all of these things that the world offers, but is false security. Belshazzar was like a man in Proverbs chapter 18. Let me see. I have it on the screen. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. It's like a high wall in his own imagination. That's all it is. That's all the stuff this world wants to offer you and I is just in our own imagination. It's not really worth anything. Belshazzar was this kind of man. As the late First Baptist Church of Dallas, Dr. R.A. Criswell once said, he said, the rich man imagines his wealth to be a strong defense to secure him from the storms of life, but that protection is only in his own esteem or only in his own estimation. Daniel is a very fascinating book filled with drama, and we're going to see that today. Tremendous history, real history, because the Bible is true. Prophecy and some other amazing miracles we're going to see. And Daniel chapter 5 is no exception. So let's look at the text. If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read a few verses from Daniel chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Daniel chapter 5 says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which has been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple, the house of God, which they shouldn't have done, which had been in Jerusalem. And the king said, the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. And they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him. And so the joints of his hips were loosened, and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried out, bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying, the wise men of Babylon, Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck. And he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known the king its interpretation. The king Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. And so they call in the queen. The queen, because of the words of the king of the lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy God and in the days is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. The king Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him the chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpretation, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, explaining enigmas, were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now, let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. Talk about a bad party. This was a very bad party. You wouldn't want to be at this party. A hand came out of nowhere and began to write on the wall. Would that get your attention? It would get mine, wouldn't it? You know, sometimes we need that to happen, don't we? We're thinking the way we shouldn't be thinking. Are we doing something we shouldn't be doing? It would be probably helpful to us if God would do that sometimes, but maybe not, because maybe if he does something that spectacular, it may be our last day, like it is with Belshazzar. But it was a very bad party. It was an adulterous, idolatrous, and sacrilegious party he had, and it sure got King Belshazzar's attention. And so let me give you a few truths this morning regarding the story in Daniel chapter 5. Number one, even the wicked recognize the godly. Even the wicked. We may not think it sometimes, because as I sort of mentioned to the children, if we allow ourselves to watch the local news or the national news or the international news or whatever, it's just chaos everywhere. But that's not real. That's just a facade. That's just a devil working in this world. You and I are to be about the Lord Jesus and the Bible and what he expects of us and to enjoy, you know, rejoice in the Lord always, not be caught up in all of the things of this world. We shared Wednesday night the story of Jonah. How all of us leave a footprint somewhere at work, at school, wherever we are, we at home, we leave a footprint for those even after we're gone. We may not be remembered very long, but there are times when that footprint pops back up. We leave a footprint. Well, we leave influence as well. And that's why we should ask three simple questions. And that is, on a regular basis, who am I influencing? Who am I influencing? The second question, what kind of influence am I? Am I being a good influence? Or am I being a bad influence? And then thirdly, we should ask regularly, where will my influence lead? Where is it going? Is it helping? Is it being beneficial? Where will it lead? Straightforward questions you and I should ask. Years ago, former All-Pro football player, professional football player, Big Bubba Smith. Some of y'all remember him? Big Bubba Smith. He was making all kind of money in the making commercials, beer commercials. And he had no idea what kind of influence he was having until he went back to his alma mater. He went back to Michigan State, where he played college football. And when he went back to Michigan State, the students there began to chant and yell what Big Bubba would say on those beer commercials. And so Big Bubba began to realize he was influencing these students in a negative way, in a bad way. And so when he got back home that weekend, he called his agent and said, tell the beer companies, tell them no more beer commercials, because I'm tired of being a negative influence. I'm tired of leading these young people down the wrong road. Good for him. He realized influence. Well, Daniel, one of the world's great influencers, he's living in captivity, so he's a slave. He had no one to influence him. But light always shines in the darkness. It may not appear that way, but again, you and I can't look at our circumstances and make a determination of how life is going. We've got to look at the scriptures, because even the wicked will recognize the godly when you and I live the way we should live. Daniel lived that way. In our text, the Bible tells us that God broke up a party. When that human hand wrote those strange words on the wall, King Belshazzar was very frightened. He was so frightened his knees began to knock together. Have you ever been that frightened? That's pretty frightened, isn't it? If my knees start knocking, you're probably going to put me in a straitjacket. That's what happened. His knees began to knock. No one could interpret the writing. Not his soothsayers, not his Chaldeans, not his magicians, astrologers, none of them. Not his wise men. And so the queen is called, or she comes in, she hears a commotion, whatever, she's there. She comes up in verse 11 and she said, there is a man that has the spirit of the holy God in him, or on him, in him, she says. How did she know that? How did she know that? Well, she hadn't been to his church, she hadn't listened to his radio program. Daniel, I believe because even the wicked recognizes the godly. Obviously, she was paying attention to, and we're going to see that in just a moment. I'll let you know another reason that she knew that Daniel was a godly man. Notice what is said in something important in verse 13. Daniel was not at the party. He wasn't at the party. He wasn't carousing. He wasn't doing what the world does. They had to go get him. Had to go get him where he was. I know we're more sophisticated than ever before, but Christians, we don't have to hang out at bars. Doesn't matter, does it? We don't have to do that. To be influencers, we don't have to hang out and enjoy life like the heathens do. There is a fine line between separation of the ungodly and our love to reach them. Sure, we are to reach them, but there is a fine line, and you have to let the Spirit of God lead you sometimes, even in your own family, where that line is. But Daniel understood that we are to be in the world, as the Lord Jesus says, but not of the world. So even the wicked recognize the godly. And there's that verse, Daniel 5:11, where she says, the queen, there is a man that has the Spirit of God, holy gods, in him. Let me give you the second truth today. Without God, man has nothing. Without God, we have nothing. We never have and we never will. Verse 28, Daniel interprets a dream. He interprets the handwriting on the wall. He says, your kingdom is divided. And it is given, in other words, he's saying right now, it's divided. It's given to the Medes and the Persians. Belshazzar had hoped that Daniel was joking or kidding. Or maybe he was going to have a second chance or a third chance. I don't know how many chances this guy had. But Daniel wasn't kidding. Daniel said the king would just in a short period of time, would just in a few minutes perhaps, or hours at the most, would have no kingdom. And Daniel was immediately, just as the king had said, placed third in command over all of Babylon. History tells us that that same night, before the party was over, the Medes and the Persians, as they were digging their tunnel, you know, they drained the, dammed up the Euphrates, and they were digging a tunnel to go in there. They emerged and slaughtered King Belshazzar, all of his people, his generals, his captains, his lords, all of them. But you know, it didn't have to be that way. Sometimes we look at people in our family, or we look at people at work, or we even look at people that we just know real well, or we grew up with, and they're having a terrible life, or things are going terribly wrong. But it didn't sometimes have to be that way. Notice verse 22 of Daniel chapter 5. Look at what verse 22 says. Daniel is speaking, he says, but you, his son, talking about Belshazzar is Nebuchadnezzar's son, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. You knew it. You remember Nebuchadnezzar, his dad? He was not humble either, and God put him out in the field, and he ate grass just like an ox, just like a donkey, just like an animal. And then, after he was out in that field for a time, he began to humble himself, and he realized that the God of Isaac and Jacob and Abraham, Daniel's God, was the Most High God. He humbled himself, Nebuchadnezzar did, this guy's dad, and worshiped the God that we worship. Well, Belshazzar was around, or he had heard about his dad, Nebuchadnezzar, worshiping the Most High God. Maybe the queen, maybe that's where she remembered it. She was around and she remembered Nebuchadnezzar worshiping the Lord God of Israel. It didn't have to be this way, because Belshazzar, his dad, could have influenced him if he had listened to dad. If he had done what dad did, and he would have humbled himself. But you and I know many young people say, I'm not listening to the godly person in my life. I'm not listening to the godly grandmother. I'm not listening to the godly mama. I'm not listening to the godly person in my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's what Belshazzar did. And now look at where it got him. It didn't have to be that way. And it didn't have to be that way for a lot of people around us or in this society. They don't listen to the godly person in their life. They don't let the godly person in their life influence them. They let the ungodly person in their life influence them. And that's exactly what we see with Belshazzar. Daniel wasn't kidding. The party was about to end, come to an abrupt end. I don't know if you know the story of this family here. Willard and Linda Fuller. Willard and Linda Fuller have two children. When they were young and out of college, and a few years later, they were doing real well financially. Just do extremely well by the world's standards. Very successful, sophisticated, doing well, both of them. But their marriage was on the rocks. They weren't happy. They didn't know why. Things wasn't going the way they'd hoped they'd go. They had all this money and they had everything, and things aren't going the way we thought it was going to go, God. And so they went to some counseling, and through that counseling and through some other events that happened in their life, some separation for a little while, they realized that God wanted them to do something to make an impact. God wanted them not just to give their money away, which they did, but that didn't feel fulfilling enough. They wanted to be active and doing something. So after they did that, they moved to Georgia, America's Georgia, I believe it is. And they began to build low-income housing called Habitat for Humanity. They founded Habitat. I think Today, maybe over 65,000 homes, habitats built for people. They wanted to make a difference. They wanted to be influencers. They, unlike King Belshazzar, they understood what Daniel knew. That God owns it all, and we're on earth to be managers, to be good stewards of what He's given us. Without God, we struggle through life demanding, and we've seen it yesterday, on all parties, demanding our rights, demanding all of these things, hopelessly trying to entertain ourselves. But without God, things don't last. Let me give you the third truth. A true man or woman of God cannot be bought or sold. Can't be bought or sold. The reason that this is true is that we have a commitment. We make a commitment. We have courage, but we also have a commitment. Commitment makes all the difference in the world. Dr. John Bisogno, here's what he says about commitment. He said, until I am committed, there is a hesitancy to draw back. There's a hesitancy to draw back. I don't really want to draw to do what I need to do until I make the decision to commit. But the moment, he says, the moment I commit myself, God moves a whole stream of events. They erupt, all manner of unforeseen things, meetings, persons, which I could never dream possible, begin to flow toward me, he says. In other words, when you and I don't commit, we want to pull back, we don't want to do what we should be doing, but as soon as we commit, the moment we commit, God begins to do some things that unforeseen, that we didn't know He was going to do. We get a call, we get more time that we didn't realize we were going to have. A lot of things happen. In other words, God commits Himself to committed people. Verse 17, Daniel refuses the gifts. He says, keep your presents for yourself. King, I don't want them. Daniel knew that the king really had nothing to offer him because his kingdom was over. The man of God wasn't interested in his gifts because Daniel had a strong commitment. And it was a testimony through four different Babylonian kings. Not just Belshazzar, but Nebuchadnezzar and the others as well. Daniel had such a powerful influence. Here's what one of the pagan kings said about Daniel. You tell me. That's when he said, keep your presence for yourself. Look at what this pagan king said about Daniel and about God, the God of Daniel, the God that Daniel worshipped. For He is the living God, and He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. That's an amazing sermon from a pagan king because of the commitment of Daniel. It takes courage and it takes commitment to live the way God expects you and I to live. But we can do it, and we are to do it, but we've got to commit day after day after day, even in all the difficulties and frustrations and distractions. So here's a question, final question. What's holding you back? Is something holding you back? It could be family. Family sometimes can get in our way. They're good, but it may not be the greatest thing. It could be other things. Our health, that we're worried about our health too much. Something we worry about, something we stress about. If it is, we just need to say, God, You take it. God, You have it. I don't need it. I can't handle it. What's holding you back? We all have something probably that's holding us back. Let's pray. Father, may we today afresh and anew surrender ourselves to You. And if there is something holding us back, or someone. Maybe it could be many things, Father, but all of it is idolatry if we're letting it consume us and drive us. Father, may we not worship the idols of this world and be influenced by them. May we be influencers like Daniel. Help us today to restore, if we need to, Lord, or all of us, the commitment that we've made to you. That if you're going to save us, which you've done, we're going to sell out to you, Lord. Lord, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. In Christ's holy name, amen.